From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in February of 2020, just over a year ago. Yeah, it's the end of the before times. Across the United States, more people were signed up for composting programs than ever before. Zero waste initiatives were gaining momentum in businesses, in schools, in government buildings. But then, of course, yes, COVID. And as a result of the pandemic, food waste recycling programs were halted or delayed in a number of cities due to budget constraints and other complications. Not all, but New York City, there's an example. They suspended their curbside food waste recycling through June of 2022, as did cities like Cambridge, Massachusetts. Well, last month, our listener sent us numerous questions about composting. Seems like it comes around every spring. They want to talk about food waste, waste recycling. This hour, we shine the light on those programs in our region, and we'll answer any questions you have about how to compost, what's available, and where. And yes, if you want to ask questions about, can you compost this or that? Should you not put this or that in the compost? Can you do this at home on your own? Do you need to hire a service? What's the right balance? We always get those, and our guests will be ready for them. Let me bring them in now. The CEO of Impact Earth is Robert Putney, who's with us. Robert, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
And the operations manager for Impact Earth is Emily Pacifico. Emily, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Robert, it depends on where you look in this country, but there have been some slowdowns in food waste recycling and related programs in some places, but not in others. How would you paint the story of what's happening here, Robert?
It's a great question. I think that in Monroe County and the Finger Lakes region specifically, composting, whether in your backyard or through a service like ours or commercially, has grown exponentially in the last couple of years. And in fact, I would go further and say that we had more, between community composting and us, we had more people sign up for composting curbside last year than in any of the previous years, not combined, but individually.
Last year was a record year. Did I hear that correctly?
That's correct. So we were surprised, during COVID, but we're very pleasantly surprised that we had more people than ever sign up for composting.
What do you attribute that to? I mean, I guess in my mind, my first assumption is, most of us were eating out at restaurants very rarely. We're eating a lot more at home, so maybe there's more food waste at home, and maybe that's more top of mind, or maybe it's something else entirely. What do you attribute it to?
Well, I think there's several factors. Most importantly, there's just a general awareness that there are those programs here locally. So I think people became more aware of that. I think that the pandemic forced people to reexamine what they were doing in their own households. It did slow the pace of life down a little bit. People had a little more time to take a look at that. And I think they reached out to groups like ours and said, how do we get started on the zero waste journey?
Emily, how do you see the story of the last year?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Robert's perspective. I think that, COVID kind of forced people to take personal responsibility, not only for their health and the health of our community, but they realize they have the same power to help the planet. So composting is an easy way to do that, and we definitely saw more people take action in this past year.
Listeners, if you've got questions, comments about composting, whether you're doing it yourself, I'm curious to know, are you one of the people who signed up for the first time during the pandemic? Are you composting at home on your own? Did you hire a service? We'd love to hear from you on that. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994, or you can email the program at connections@WXXI.org. Now, for those who have used a program called Community Composting, that is now you, right, Robert? I mean, Impact Earth acquired Community Composting a couple of months ago. What happened?
Yeah, well, Brett and Jess from Community Composting, we've known them and have worked with them, played in the same sustainability sandbox for the last 6-7 years. And I think that last year was a year where they decided that they wanted, as a group, to focus more on their Stop Checker software, which supports companies like ours, not only here, but across the country. And Brett has developed that software. And we really wanted to accelerate the growth of the composting program here locally, and we were preparing to scale to that point. And so it was a fantastic way to merge the two together and carry on the mission.
And now that you've been merged the two together here, I mean, Impact Earth is, well, let me ask both of you then. What is the mission and what is the vision right now and going forward for what you are doing? Robert, I mean, what do you want Impact Earth to be doing in 2025?
Sure. Well, I mean, first and foremost, we're a behavior change company that focuses on environmental education. And then all of our programs and services are geared towards that. So if you want to talk composting, it's about getting people activated in their communities with products and services that support that environmental mission. So composting is one of those. As we've been on the show previously and talked about our K-12 environmental education program that Brighton has embraced in their public school district that continued through COVID. So they were the one school district that chose to continue and stay focused on the sustainability initiatives that had started 4 years ago with us. So we were, certainly grateful for that. And, we have our new zero waste lifestyle store at ECU Mall. Which carries all of our zero waste products, more than half of which we make ourselves. Elizabeth, my wife, makes those, or we source another 25% here locally with other local vendors. So, when you add all those things together on top of the consulting work that we do here locally with municipalities like the city of Rochester or the city of Canandaigua, we're trying to make our impact and blend all of these things together to give people a path forward on their zero waste journey.
Mm-hmm. Emily, what's the most common question that you guys get?
We get all kinds of questions. As far as the composting, people are really just interested in what the process is. And I think it's becoming more common to the point where people know that it's important, but they might not exactly understand why. And then as far as the zero waste products go, to some people, it's brand new. So they never thought about reusable alternatives and compostable products. So it's really a great entry point. And, whether it's the composting or the products, as long as it gets people started on their journey, we're happy to help.
Talking to Emily Pacifico and Robert Putney from Impact Earth as we talk about their work as a behavior change company, and frankly, we talk about what the last year has meant for, maybe a change in momentum across the country for zero waste programs, for composting, whether it's at home, businesses, et cetera. But that story is kind of uneven, because if you've seen headlines from New York City or elsewhere where some of those programs were halted, they have not necessarily been halted everywhere. And here's a company reporting record growth in a year. And a lot of interest. So if you've got questions, I'm sure they will have some answers. And let's start taking some of your feedback on this. I'm going to start in Rochester with Maria on the phone. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi. I moved here from half-acre land and a wonderful compost pile from Penfield. And I live in the city now, only to discover rats and other kinds of critters. I have a small yard. I would love to start a compost pile again, but I'm afraid all I'm going to do is encourage more rats and more critters. Any advice?
Robert, Emily, you want to hit that?
Yeah, I'll take that. We certainly encourage people to do backyard composting if it's an option for them. While we can take more products like meat, dairy, bones, cheese, because of our industrial vermicomposting process, your backyard compost should really be limited to, fruits and vegetable clippings, that kind of thing. And if you mix those with, your leaves or other garden debris from your yard, grass clippings, et cetera, and bury your pile, and you should be able to eliminate most of that attention from unwanted critters.
Okay. Does that help? Yeah, go ahead.
You don't think that's going to attract these critters into making nests because it'll be nice and warm?
It could. I think it does depend on where exactly you live and what the situation is currently. I live in Brighton. We don't, we backyard compost as well, aside mm-hmm. from the things that I mentioned earlier. And we don't have that same problem where we are. I mean, obviously we attract insects and birds and things like that. squirrels occasionally will try to attack the compost pile, but we haven't had an issue with things like rats. You do have to be mindful of it, though, and if not, then there you can always choose a service like ours, or you could do a backyard tumbler, which is, as I'm sure you know, is an above-ground contained unit where you could do composting as well. So those there are some options out there.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Thank you so much.
Maria, thank you to you. 844-295-TALK. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. Emily Pacifico, you guys are nice enough to come on the program and share an hour of your expertise and time. And so I feel like I should ask you, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that? Online?
Yeah, of course. We have a website, which is impactearthroc.com. We also have social media pages. You can search Impact Earth to find us there. And if you have a direct question, you can reach us at support@impactearthrock.com for email.
There you go. I know some listeners are going to try to do a lot of composting on their own, and others might say, I just want to hire somebody to do this for me. And I think that's it's going to be a big blend here. Boy, the phone is ringing. So I'm going to take as many calls as we can. And then if you've already emailed, we'll try to work through a lot of emails as well with Robert and Emily. This is Sandra in Rochester. Next, go ahead, Sandra.
Oh, hi. I think all the pictures of kitchens that are in Realtor magazines or our newspaper should feature the compost spot in the kitchen, because it's important. It should be the newest thing, zero waste. You're composting. And so people need to show how do you do it in the kitchen, because every day you could build up a nice pile of vegetables. And if you're cooking at home, that's the healthiest way to be. So there's just lots of tips. I mean, you could get your charcoal to get the smell down. In the summer, you need vinegar to get rid of the fruit flies, just the vinegar traps. And then it should just be part of the kitchen, like healthy food on the stove, and then your compost pile over by your sink. I just think that should be the up-and-coming best kitchen photo. And then for the outside in the city, I just wanted to say, yeah, so I did it on the ground, and I got rats. It was really bad. This was 15 years ago. I mean, one rat, and that was just terrible, horrible, because we have kids in our neighborhood. I'm in the city. So then I just did the up tumbler, like was just described. You get a tumbler. But the problem is we also need recyclable tumblers, because I got one from Home Depot for $150, and it really busted after 3 years. Mm. So a homemade barrel, like the wine and beer barrels they have, if you home make it and let it roll, I've had one for 6 years, and no rats, you know, you just cover it and no rats can get in, and it's wonderful. And that could be the new, you know, backyard, the great backyard.
Yeah, Sandra.
Without it, you have a bad backyard, you know?
Well, and let me also say, I mean, I'll let our guests weigh in on your comments in a minute here, but Sandra, as someone who has been looking at new kitchen counters and other things like that recently, you're right. Every time you see some of these design books and, you know, new home books and all that stuff, the kitchen is almost always the center point now. People spend a lot of time there, and so the counter space, people want a huge counter space. So they're bigger than ever, but with all that extra space, you're right. I never see composting materials there. I just find that interesting. I'd never thought about it that way, Sandra, but I thought that was very smart.
Oh, yeah. You come in my house and you're going to see half of the kitchen. On the side of the kitchen, it's all compost, and people don't seem so used to that.
Well, it's time to normalize it. Thank you for the phone call, Sandra. Emily, what do you think here? At least on the kitchen side, should we get used to that a little bit more? Do we need to see that more often?
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, we partner with a lot of local restaurants as well that are composting using our service, and we tell them all the time, you know, you have to tell people about this, because it's great that you're doing it, and the customers really care, and they want to support businesses that are doing things like that as well.
I agree with that. Absolutely. I mean, how many restaurants are you working with now, Emily?
Robert, what is it, about 20 now?
Yeah, we were, I think our high point was about 40 pre-COVID, and I think we're back to about 20, 24, somewhere in that range of restaurants.
Okay, so that has been an area where the business has been impacted by COVID in perhaps a negative direction, and maybe as we see a reopening, which is coming our way, and a re-engagement with society, with mass vaccination, maybe that will start to change again. But Emily, I take the point. I mean, as a customer, I would definitely want to know if the restaurant is doing that. I'm not sure I've seen that advertised or at least mentioned before, but I think that's great. Are you encouraging that? Do you know restaurants that do that?
Yeah, we do have a couple restaurants that really focus on it. The Red Fern is one of our longtime mm-hmm. partners, and as a vegan restaurant, they're confident in talking about that. But even the Village Bakeries, which are a huge staple in Rochester, they're all composting. So it's just about getting the word out there and letting people know that, you know, even if they choose takeout, it's still a sustainable option.
Yeah, absolutely. And Robert, before I jump back to the phones, Sandra mentioned using charcoal and vinegar to mitigate some of the impacts of indoor composting. What do you think of those ideas?
Yeah, I agree. And I should have mentioned those earlier, so I'm glad Sandra did. But, you know, biochar, charcoal, vinegar, those are all great things to throw into your composting pile. Yeah, spent mushroom mycelium is also a great thing to throw in there, too. By the way, so if you have mushrooms, you can let mushrooms grow to their heart's content in the compost pile.
I see. Okay, so spent mushrooms in the compost. Okay. Sandra, thank you for the phone call. And let me get back to your calls now. And there's a lot. Gloria in Canandaigua. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. I have been doing composting for a long time. And where I first heard about this was by reading the book by Ruth Stout. This is an old book, How to Have a Green Thumb Without an Aching Back. And to tell you how old the book is, it's this little paperback, but it was only $1.45. So anyway, and what she suggested, and I still do this, is, but first of all, I'll say we do not put meat or milk products in the compost. I'm vegan, and that's how I cook. So, but what she suggested is digging a hole. You know, you don't have to have your compost all in the same place. I know a lot of people do that and then they turn it over and everything, but this is so much easier. You dig a hole, put it in, cover it up. Or a whole long line that you dig up and then keep putting the compost in that way. And it makes the soil much better. The soil with our lawn out here is mostly clay. Hmm. I'm a potter, too, but I wouldn't use it even for that. Hmm.
Okay. Well, Gloria, thank you. An experienced composter. I want to ask our guests about some of Gloria's comments there. She mentioned meat and milk products. Robert, anything we ought to know about, generally speaking, when we're composting at home, about meat and milk products?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, you should not put those in your backyard.
Yep.
Compost, obviously. A service like ours, we will take those. We also take, you know, bioplastics and all of your compostable wares, too. And, you know, our process is, you know, we'll do over a million pounds of food scrap diversion from the landfill in this year. And so all that goes into big piles at one of our two farms in Ontario County, and they use vermicomposting as part of the secondary process. So much like the previous caller mentioned about digging trenches, we use red wigglers and throw those in the trenches, and they'll eat through all of that, including the meat, dairy, bones, cheese.
Okay. And Robert, I feel like, you know, every few years on composting, I've got to relearn some of the rules, particularly because I have done both sort of home composting on my own with a bin and hired a service. I won't mention the service, but it rhymes with the name of your company. And so the bottom line is, you know, when you're hiring a service, you're a little less attuned to balance. But when I did it on my own, I think I was making the mistake early on of not having enough, I think brown is the term, leaves, you know, I think it was something like a 90-10 rule, and I was not doing it very well. What's a good rule of thumb if you're doing it on your own for balance, Robert?
This is a better question for Emily, probably.
Okay.
She's got the hard sciences background. I'll let her answer it first.
There you go, Emily Pacifico. Go ahead.
It really depends on what type of food scraps or, you know, what you're mixing in. But the more wet of your food scraps, so if it's cooked foods or anything like that, you're going to need to add more of the brown materials.
Brown isn't generally leaves?
Yeah, most people use leaves. You can also use newspaper, anything that's dried and a carbon-based material like that.
Where does coffee come in? Brown or not?
No, you would definitely have to balance that out with some leaves or paper products.
Okay, coffee does not count as brown. That's a question we get with some routine there. Emily Pacifico is Operations Manager for Impact Earth. Robert Putney is CEO of Impact Earth. And on we go with the phone calls. Ruth in Rochester next. Go ahead, Ruth.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've got an organic farm out in Victor, and I like to use a lot of compost as a soil additive. I make my own, but I never make quite enough to add to all of my fields. So I was wondering what your end product is, where your farm is, how you're making your compost, and whether you sell bulk amounts of it to farmers.
Okay. Robert, Emily?
Yeah, so the answer is yes, absolutely. So our farms that we use are both in Ontario County, one in Farmington and one in Seneca Castle. You know, as part of the member benefit, if you're a curbside or a retail swap customer at like Lori's or Abundance, for instance, you get compost back from us twice a year in May and in September. And then folks like you or even folks that want to do home gardening that need more than that, you can buy it by the yard. You get a discount if you're obviously an existing customer. But we make lots of soil. So we have lots of soil to give away or sell in the spring and the fall.
That answers the question. Yeah, Ruth, yeah?
Yeah, that's excellent. I mean, I grew up in Vermont where Vermont compost was right up the street, and I just haven't found anyone else in this area who was doing the same thing. So I'm really glad you guys are doing what you're doing, and I'll definitely be in touch.
Thank you, Ruth. 844-295-TALK if you've got questions on composting. And let's see here. Maddie in Brighton is next. Go ahead, Maddie.
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this actually follows right on what was just said. I wanted to talk about the drop-off feature of composting. We started with one in our backyard, but we couldn't keep the deer away, and then went to Brighton Farmers Market, where we join community composting, and now we're with Impact Earth. And I find that I prefer the drop-off service because it puts me in touch with healthy eating as well. I can grocery shop and drop off my compost at the same time, and it's encouraged us to eat differently. Also, I wanted to know, you just mentioned that drop-off people are also eligible for compost, but how do you know it's me dropping my buckets off?
Yeah, that's a great question. The answer is I don't know that it's you, but this year with Abundance and Lori's and Hashtag Hydro and Spencerport, along with all the farmers markets that we're at, those folks that swap there, we're going to be giving, we're going to set up the first week of May is composting week in New York State. So we'll be giving compost back to our curbside or commercial customers. We obviously will deliver that right to their doorstep. But for folks like you that use Abundance or Lori's or the other locations, we'll be setting up and giving away your compost when you come to drop off your bucket.
Ah, great. Thanks.
Thank you for the phone call. Hope that helps there. And let me get Tom in Rochester next. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, my wife should probably be Irish because she's so green, and we have had compost for about 8 years. About 4 years ago, and this is the response to the woman who called earlier, we had an invasion of rats, and so we separated out all of our yard waste and stuff like that, which we still keep in a open air vertical compost, but we bought a rotating bin, and the rats have gone to eat someplace else. We don't have a problem with rats at all. We're in southeast Rochester neighborhood. I appreciate the comment about the vinegar, because when we redid the kitchen, we made the drawer just to the left of the sink deep enough to accept the little cylindrical silver compost bin. So when we're doing the dishes, we just put the stuff in that, close the drawer, and it's out of sight, but we're composting every single day. And I appreciate your being on. It's great. The question I have is, we don't compost in the winter because it freezes. So is it possible to have just a winter only service, or are we better to go to the drop-offs like in the Brighton Farmers Market or Lori's, as the woman just indicated in the last call?
Tom, thank you. Emily, what's can you talk about seasonality there?
Yeah, of course. You could use either our curbside or our market swap option. We don't have any contract for the curbside service. You just pay by the month, so you could do that during the winter, or you could go to one of the local locations to swap your bucket, really whatever's most convenient for you.
Okay, and the notion of not composting in winter or not in summer for various reasons, what's the short word on that, Emily?
We do have a group of customers that compost on their own in the summer and utilize our services in the winter. So the caller would not be alone in that situation.
Okay. Back to the phones. Jane in Greece. Hi, Jane. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm wondering if the carbon that is inside a Brita water filter for a pitcher, could, if I can break into the plastic housing, if I could put that carbon on my compost pile.
Emily, Robert?
I'm not sure about Brita filters in particular, but there are zero waste options for water filtration, and it's basically just the carbon part of it. There's no plastic involved. So in that situation, you could definitely compost the carbon.
Okay. So if I can saw through the container, that the carbon inside would not have sequestered too much, let's say, chlorine or lead, I'm assuming?
Yeah, the carbon that's inside there should be safe for your compost.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks for the phone call. We've got Emily Pacifico and Robert Putney from Impact Earth was with us as we talk about composting. We have always had a lot of questions about composting at home, what you can and can't do, how to do it better, what services are available if you'd rather pay somebody else to do it. If you're wondering about restaurants and school districts and other entities, Impact Earth works with, for example, Brighton Schools. And you heard Robert Putney mention earlier that Brighton Schools, despite the pandemic, has kept right on with this program. It'll be interesting to see if other school districts sign on, and I'm sure they're ready to help if other districts want to do that. They've gone from about 40 to roughly 22 dozen restaurants in the Rochester area who are using this compost service. And if you're a customer at a restaurant, if you're going out more these days, if you're vaccinated, or if you're just going out to eat, yeah, I might ask them. I think there's some interesting questions there. So we're talking about food waste with the folks from Impact Earth. Let's take this only break, and we've got plenty of time for your phone calls and emails on the other side. Coming up in our second hour, local professor of nursing Mary Tantillo has written a new book exploring how to help young adults recover from eating disorders. She calls eating disorders diseases of disconnection, and they've intensified during the pandemic. We're going to talk to her about how to identify, how to find help for those who need it, and how to be part of the support and recovery process. Talking eating disorders next up. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Kevin writes, how does the fuel consumption, trucks driving all around the city picking up the bins, play into the environmental impact of community composting? Emily, can you address that?
Yeah, of course. So Robert mentioned earlier the software that we use for our curbside composting, and that makes sure that our routes are as efficient as possible. We also are looking to add some electric vehicles to our fleet by the end of the year, so that would definitely help with the environmental impact. But overall, just keeping the routes as efficient as possible really helps us to mitigate that problem.
Okay, Kevin, thank you for that. Let me read an email from Patrick, and then I'm going to grab a phone call regarding how to keep away critters. Patrick says, my only comment on composting is this. If one is to engage with such an endeavor, commitment is necessary and consideration of one's neighbors and neighborhood is also a good practice. The reason is that food waste can attract wildlife. Some unwanted visitors include mice, rats, raccoons, possums, skunks, scavenging birds, squirrel, chipmunks. Perhaps the reason that composting companies work well in an urban environment where we have less elbow room, so to speak. That's from Patrick, and on the subject of keeping critters away, this is Cynthia in Honeoy. Hi, Cynthia, go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I lived in the 19th Ward for 25 years, and I turned my entire backyard into organic haven. I used metal trash cans and drilled holes in the bottom and seated them quite firmly into the ground, and perfect composting, even in the winter. They would cook. And you just layer it up, put on the lid, and then like a month or so later, it's condensed right down into that beautiful black gold.
Mm. And you have found that to be an effective use where? Where do you put that black gold?
I put it right in my backyard up against the back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I moved out to Honeoy, and I'm still using the same method. I have the containers up against the back of the barn in the sunlight, so they get full sun. And I have never had an issue with critters, not any. Raccoon, possum, rats, mice, because they can't get into it. But there's an airflow. You can put a couple holes in the lid if you want to have that kind of circulation, but I never had to.
All right. Well, Cynthia,
and the trash.
Oh yeah, go ahead,
Cynthia.
The
trash cans held up very well for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, so so no issue with critters for Cynthia. Thank you for that phone call from Honeyway, Cynthia. No issues for her with critters. Patrick is warning that just to be mindful, to make sure you do have a strategy to deal with critters. I know we've talked about this quite a bit here, but I think Patrick's point's a fair one. So, you know, Robert, if you want to just address that again here for those who are thinking about this, thinking, do I want to risk attracting critters? You know, are my neighbors going to have a problem with that? Robert.
Yeah, I mean, we started the service for people that didn't, you know, that were either trying to be mindful or didn't, you know, they wanted to do something that was an activity that was environmentally conscious, but didn't want to actually do the composting themselves or have it on their property, or they didn't have space. They lived in an apartment or they didn't have a yard. So, you know, that was part of the impetus to start that program when we did our customer survey. So, I encourage people to, I mean, I personally, I think everyone, it's not, it should compost. It's not a hard thing to do or a hard thing to get started. And, there's a lot of reward in doing it on a day-to-day basis. You just become more in tune with the food that you're eating and what you're throwing away, and I think it does help with just the pace and the balance of your lifestyle.
Yeah, on that point, Alan in Pittsford writes and says, separating out compost is a good way to monitor your eating habits. Lots of fruit and veggie remains signal healthy eating habits. Thank you, Alan. That's exactly Robert's point. It's absolutely true. In the same way that when you take your recycling out at the end of the week, you go, that's a lot of wine bottles. It's been a long week. Composting is that way for food. And you get a sense for, boy, you know, it's been a pretty good week for us. That's a lot of fruits and veggies. So, yeah, there's a lot of benefits there. And we take Patrick's point, but raising up the bins is a good idea. There's different strategies to keeping critters out that you've been hearing. And, I hope people who are trying those strategies are finding some success. Let me get Melinda in Rochester on the phone next. Go ahead, Melinda.
Hi. This is more just a comment. We used your service a lot at a catering company I used to work for, and it was always really awesome. And I would love seeing you guys up at the lake in Durand in the summer. I think it would be a great opportunity to work with the city, an educational opportunity, because it's always just kind of a mess up there in the summer with all the crowds. And also the festival, the Lilac Festival, you know, the local music events when those happen again. It'd be really awesome to see you guys present.
Yeah, Melinda, thank you for that. That's a great point. So, Robert, Emily, when it comes to either locations, she's talking about Durand Beach, where she says, you know, sometimes you see food waste, especially in the summer. I assume that would be a city decision if they want to bring you up there and employ your services there. She's also talking about festivals. Festivals are run by different municipalities and organizations, but do you work with festivals? So, Robert, Emily, can you hit those 2 points?
Sure. So we actually, when we started Impact Earth 7 years ago, we started with events. And we, in fact, the first event we did was the Ithaca Celtic Festival, which actually is no longer a festival. But we did that for the first 3 years. And we've done a myriad of festivals pre-COVID. We were up to about 300 events a year. And we worked mostly with smaller event coordinators for smaller events. But that did culminate in 2 years of work with Constellation at CMAC. So if you had gone to one of the concerts at CMAC in 2017 or 2018, you know, we, in partnership with Constellation, you know, we had developed a zero waste policy for that venue. So I think, you know, moving forward, we have lots of experience with that. We're happy to do more of that work. Obviously, COVID put the brakes on that last year, so we didn't do as many of those. Weddings were also very popular. We have, I think, 60 or 62 zero waste, what we call zero waste weddings booked for this summer. So that's where the bride and groom work with their caterer or the wedding planner and decide that they want all of their trash to be sorted from an environmental perspective, and they contract a company like us to come in and do that for them. And so that's wonderful. That part of the business has been growing. You know, the COVID year aside, I think we'll continue to see that kind of growth in those kind of events, and we're happy to do them.
All right, Linda in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, Linda.
I have a question about buying compost from one of the services if one does not use the service for one's own compost.
So if you don't use the service, can you buy compost from them? Interesting question. Robert,
I shouldn't say, I'm sorry, excuse me, I think I meant, can you buy soil?
Yeah. Okay, right. You could buy the results, essentially, of the broken down composted material. Robert and Emily?
Emily, I'll say, I mean, yes, the answer is yes. We have people that call us every week wanting to buy soil. So whether it's a 5 gallon pailful, or it's a, you know, a truckload quantity, or it's, you know, they need 4 yards for because they're going to install above ground boxes this spring. So we get calls every week, and we're happy to sell soil to folks.
Okay, so on that note, there, when we use the term soil in this case, Robert, are we talking about what is really effective as a fertilizer for other soils? Are we talking about material that people will use as soil without supplementing it?
Yeah, you'll definitely want to blend what you buy from us. You know, it's either in a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 ratio. What we're producing is you know, nutrient rich compost. So you can go to our Instagram page and see all the wonderful pictures that our clients and customers have posted over the last year or two of all the things they've grown in, you know, in their pots on their or in their backyards or in their gardens. There's lots of options there.
And for those of your customers who are regular weekly drop-offs, I mean, I think weekly or biweekly, do they get composted material quarterly, once a year, et cetera? Can they get it, or do they get it as part of the arrangement?
Yeah, it's part of the member benefit. So twice a year we give soil back. This year it'll be the first week of May and the second week of September.
Just drop it right off wherever they're picking up from, is that right?
Yeah, so we'll, you know, if you're a curbside customer, we bring it right to your house and drop it off. You know, in order to minimize the packaging that would potentially go to the landfill, we put it right in your bucket. So you'll get a bucket full of the soil back, and Then you can dump that and use that as your compost bucket for the week.
All right, very good. Let me get Roger in Rochester. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, hey, Evan, great show. I appreciate the topic. You can hear me?
Yep, go ahead, sir.
So three things. One, absolutely you can compost in the winter. I live in southeast Rochester. We've been doing this for years. It's just automatic. We just have two compost bins. As one fills up during the winter, we go to the other one because as in the cold weather, it's not going to – the volume is not going to go down because of the, it's frozen or mostly so. The second thing is we've had more of a problem this year with critters, rats. And I had one compost bin that was not secure. I've changed that, and we haven't had a problem since. Last point, and I don't know if you've addressed this. I didn't listen to the entire show, but what you put in is important. You don't want to put in meats. You don't want to put in fats. You want to put in vegetable matter. So I'll just say those things. It's easy to do. It's really easy. Thank you for the show.
Yeah, thank you very much, Roger. And I generally think that Robert and Emily have echoed what you just said there. If you're doing it on your own, although, Robert, Emily, you provide a list to your customers to give them a sense for, yes, you can put this in, no, do not put this in. And it's probably a little more expansive than people might be working with if they're trying this on their own. Is that fair, Robert?
It is. And it's usually easier to start with what we don't take. So, for instance, we're not taking animal or human waste. So, unfortunately, even if you're using a compostable dog poop bag, you still can't throw that in the bucket. Or the toter. We don't take plastic, obviously, metal or non-biodegradable materials. One of the more interesting questions we get and people are surprised by is we do take pizza boxes. So if you order a pizza from one of your local pizza shops, you can't really the recycling companies don't really want you to recycle that because of the grease or the remnants on the inside of the pizza box. But we love that stuff. So we take it and we grind that up and that gets, it's part of our browns, really. It's like a leaf. To the compost pile.
Carrie and Victor wanted to know, and I'll send this to Emily, she's trying to decide if she should change her container methods, wants to know, would metal leak? Also curious about using wine barrels. Emily, any thoughts on that?
I'm guessing she's talking about the actual composting process and not just a collection bin, because I know it is quite common to use a metal bin for collection, but based on the listener that we just talked to, it sounds like a metal bin would actually work quite well, or the wine barrel, and they both seem like sustainable options for composting in your backyard.
Very good. Carrie and Victor, hope that helps. Mary just emphasizing the point on dog and cat poop. She says, I'm an Impact Earth composter, and I live as green as I can, but we need some ideas for alternatives for disposing of pet poop. Just putting it in plastic bags on a walk and throwing it in a garbage bin is not green. Robert and Emily, is there any rule of thumb for the greenest way to do it? You can't put it in your compost bin. You can't put it in most compost bins, it sounds like. But is there any strategy for what to do with that? Robert, Emily?
Well, we both have animals, and Emily can talk specifically about what she does. But, I have two dogs, and, we just pile our dog waste in a corner of our yard, and we let nature sort of do its thing.
Okay, Emily?
That's exactly what I was going to say, Robert. And there are some devices or methods as far as burying it goes. I would just be careful, if you are a gardener, to obviously separate it and be cautious of where you're placing that.
Kat writes to say, I have a compost pile in Greece that should have its own zip code. Do I need to add anything to it to churn it? It's only leaves and grass cuttings right now. So, Emily, she's got leaves and grass cuttings, huge pile. What should she add, and how often should she grab a pitchfork and churn it?
You definitely want to turn it over, and the leaves and grass clippings will compost on their own. She doesn't need to necessarily add anything else to it, but as we've been saying, it'd be great to add some food scraps to that pile as well.
Okay. Tom in Rochester is on the phone next. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I compost every day, winter or summer, everything. Also, I got this from my ex a few years ago. Shredded junk mail. put it in the kitty litter and then put it in the compost. I've been doing that for a long time. I put in the food waste and the leaves, and I do it every day. I turn it every day so it gets oxygen and nitrogen and all that other stuff.
Junk mail.
So it's a lot of great, exercise also every day.
Very good. Tom, thank you for that phone call, and I appreciate the insight. Now, on the subject of Tom's idea of junk mail, which we somehow still get a lot of, can you shred it and put it in composting? Robert Putney.
The best option is still to recycle it, but if you do shred it, we will take it in the compost.
But you're still recommending just put it in your regular recycling?
Yeah, that kind of paper, because of the way the recycling industry is set up, that kind of paper is great for recycling. If you're talking about newspaper or, like I mentioned earlier, the pizza boxes, you know, those are more ready-made for composting piles. But we do have people that, when we open up their bucket or open up their toter every week, the top of it, you know, the top 3 or 4 inches is got all of their shredded, copy paper in it. And we'll take that.
Chris in Irondequoit says, I'm an existing customer but didn't know that you would take pizza boxes. Can we just set them next to our bin for pickup?
Yes. Please do. Well, our drivers are instructed to pick up the pizza boxes. So you don't need to try to shove it in the 5-gallon or 4-gallon bucket. Just put it on top or underneath.
I'm sure people have tried that.
Chris, some people have tried.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Chris, thank you for that. Ted in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, Ted.
How are you guys doing today?
Good,
and
sir.
I'm so happy about the pizza boxes. I did not know that, and I always get so annoyed throwing them out. We've been trying to kind of go plastic-free with everything in our bathroom and products and whatnot. And Q-tips are one thing we haven't been able to figure out yet. And we're buying organic Q-tips, and I'm curious if I can put those in the compost bin.
So the answer to that is unfortunately no. And anything that comes out of the bathroom like that is considered a biohazard. We don't pick it up in the school districts either, or at other municipal or businesses where we pick up composting, because it could potentially have bloodborne pathogen issues, which would require us to separate that at the compost pile when we collected it. So we don't recommend that you put those bathroom-type items in the compost bin.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ted. Let me get Mike here. Mike says he's got two questions. He says, first, my outdoor compost bin is far from my house, so usually it only gets yard waste added. The majority is leaves, which take me years to break down. Since I am not adding food scraps, what else should I be adding to help break down those leaves other than dead plants? And second, he says, I hear breaking down leaves with the lawnmower and leaving the broken down leaf matter on the lawn leads to black spots on the leaves of trees the next spring and summer. If fully composted, does this same problem with leaves exist when going to use the newly created soil? And so that second part, I don't know that that's true. Emily, if you just mulch your leaves with a lawnmower and leave them on the lawn, Mike is hearing that as a result of that, it could lead to black spots on what grows the next year around. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard of that particular situation. There might be, you know, maybe there was one example where there was some type of, I don't know, diseased plant in the pile that could have caused an issue, but overall that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, and then he's just saying his compost bin's far from his house. It's not going to get any food waste. It's mostly yard waste. Anything to add to the leaves to help there?
You could always break down the leaves. You know, he just suggested mulching it and directly applying it to his yard or his garden. But if you were to mulch that down, it would break down faster in a pile as well.
Well, we've answered a lot of questions, and I just want to ask both of our guests to make sure that you know how you can be in touch if you want to be. They didn't come on here just to sell the company. They came on to answer your questions, and a lot of people are going to try to do a lot of work on this on their own, whether it's in your kitchen, with the food scraps, maybe a new bin in your yard or in your space. But if you want to get in touch, first of all, with Impact Earth, Emily, how to do that one more time?
Yeah, of course. You can go on our website for more information, which is impactearthroc.com, or you can reach us directly via email at support@impactearthroc.com.
And Robert Putney is the CEO of Impact Earth. About another minute here. When you look at the breakdown of what you guys are doing, working with people in their homes, As I mentioned, you're working with the Brighton School District. You're working with a couple dozen restaurants. How does that balance grow? What would you like to see most grow as we kind of come toward the back end of this pandemic? What's goal number one for you?
I think what we have found and learned over the last 4 or 5 years is that the composting program is probably the most successful at getting people activated on their zero waste journey. So, you know, for us, purchasing community composting and scaling the business to be able to support that on a Finger Lakes wide regional area is really, really what we're focused on.
Can you say how many households you're working with right now?
We have over 3,000.
Over 3,000. So now, listeners, you've got a game plan if you want to do more. And I promise, given the demand on composting conversations, we will revisit this with some routine because it's always in demand. And Robert and Emily took a lot of your calls, and we're grateful for that, and emails as well. Robert Putney, CEO of Impact Earth. Thank you, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Emily Pacifico, Operations Manager for Impact Earth. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
Short break and more connections coming up.